So Sarah, I'll ask you this because I know you're a busy mother and grandmother, soon to be grandmother, soon to be grandmother.
Right.
And it came up today in conversation of simplicity. You brought it up with the simple pleasures. And it's something I wanted us to really take a little time to think about for Lent, how to simplify. My context, and you can put in whatever context seems reasonable to you, was the extracurriculars of the children and how in all encompassing their activities become, and how does one discern the balance? And I threw up a number. I said, you could easily have for one child, 7, 8 activities that they're required to be part of. Required, we can define what do you mean by required, that they easily could be part of. But then when I started counting them out, when you look at the service, or you look at languages, you look at music, you look at art, you look at athletics, you look at the academics. Where is the time for the family? Where's the time for the family to be the family? That opportunity to do some of these practices without it not sounding like one more thing on the list I need to check off before I can hit the bed because I'm so exhausted. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I do exactly. Yeah, we have hyper scheduled ourselves because we can.
That's
We've
correct.
become so efficient that we feel like we have to fill in 36 hours instead of only 24.
That's right. That's right. So how do you, if you don't mind me asking, how do you decide, or what is the sort of the process you go through to determine?
We've kind of always had, I mean, number one, I've never believed that my kids were going to go to college on a scholarship for athletics. I've never really actually thought that they're, I mean, I'm pretty bright. I did not get any real high academic scholarships, so I've never put, it's kind of like I don't buy my home as an investment, right? This is not my investment. I'm not hoping to make money on it. I want to live in it. So I've only ever looked at these opportunities not as a future potentiality in terms of what kind of gains or benefits my kids might get from him. I ask myself sincerely, is it worth doing today for one day? Because if I'm going to try, because I mean, for heaven's sake, my dad died the night before my high school graduation. So from that moment on, there was no future for him. There was no future for us anymore. So if I had been waiting for that moment to graduate from high school so that I could do all of these things with my dad, I would have missed today with him, right? So one of the things that I do sincerely is I ask myself, is it worth doing it today? And so we've always looked more concretely at things that, I mean, that I made the decision to homeschool. So that has freed up just a large amount of time because I'm not carpooling, not driving back and forth, right? I mean, so I have freed up some areas in that regard. But also, I've always looked at elements in the family that promote the general welfare of the family. So piano lessons are things that all of my kids are capable of doing. They're all capable of succeeding at. And so we choose that family, everybody's going to learn piano. Would I love for them to learn a band instrument in addition to that? Sure. But I mean, realistically speaking, now you're talking about not everybody is going to have the facility to play every instrument the same, and you open up a whole can of worms. Okay, so would that be a good? Yes, but it's not a good for us. I don't really have any great soccer players, so consequently, I prefer to find leagues that all of my kids can play on a Saturday morning at the same field at the same time, right? Swimming has always been a very great family sport because everybody, all the swim meets comprise everybody all in one day. So when I'm examining things like that, I try to make them familial as opposed to independently directed. Once they get to high school and they can drive and they can do a little bit more of their own things, they get a little bit more latitude and a little bit more liberty. But for the most part, you have to cultivate an ability to say no with sincerity, not to say no with punition. right? This is not a no of punishment, because there are certain no's that are no's of beneficence, right? Our Lord said to Adam and Eve, don't eat that fruit. He said no, not for punition, right? Or for the reason of punishment. He said no for the purpose of blessing them. And we as parents, I think that we have to be able to restore within ourselves that ability to be a blessing to our children through our authority, because we have the greater power of being able to understand the long-term ramifications of what all of those things are going to do to the family.
That's right. We do. I was talking to a young mother, and I was encouraging her to really treasure this time with her family. And it will pass so quickly. And when you're right, you know, when they hit high school, it becomes crazy. And someone asked, and just recently we had a Catholic gathering, and Ted gave a reflection. It's on podcast up on the website if anyone cares to listen. But this daughter rightly said no. She was invited. She would have loved to have been there. But it was Sunday night, and that was her time with her family. Okay. And I respected her for that. I got what she said, and I complimented. Would she have loved to have been with her family, her parents, and her siblings were there? Yeah. But she had to look to what was right for her and her family. Yeah. So we're all talking about good things. Right. We haven't even gotten into the realm of video games or social media, or we're not even there. We're talking about.
I think that those are all very effective ways to say no beneficently.
It's the harder part of it when you're in the carpool line or you're with the other parents and they're talking about their kids really are scheduled from January to December.
Yeah,
they really are. You go, is my child, am I doing something that's going to hinder their academic growth, or their this growth, or their athletic, or the development of their mind, or developing, you know, their services?
All that you've done is made them exhausted and jaded.
Exhausted and jaded. And where was that time to be? To be content with the simple.
Right. Where was the time to be a kid sitting underneath the tree with a book? Where was that? Did you schedule that in? Because if you don't, it will not appear. You know, that is not time that's just going to, you know, time is you either spend it or you waste it. That's it. It's like money.
That's right.
And you can choose. Everybody, for whatever reason, in God's mercy, that is the absolute equality of man. Everyone has 24 hours. That is it. You get 24 hours in every single one of your days. No one has more. It doesn't matter if you're Microsoft, you know, guy, or if you're the most, you know, the poorest of the poor. You know, and our Lord, and I really think we've become a society of envy, much to our own detriment. You know, there's a constant looking over our shoulder to see what others are doing, and then a constant navel gazing to see if we're doing what they're doing. And we do such a disservice to the individual in our family when we try and make them like the other. I mean, I've never been willing to sacrifice the love that are, you know, I just think to myself, you know, we've been given a treasure in earthly vessels, right? And, you know, you're either going to nurture and take care of that treasure, or you're going to spend it. And, you know, parents spend their children's hours like nobody's business. They just fritter their children's hours away. They don't store any of them up. I think that really Lent must be a time of reassessment for that. I mean, you just only have to look at the world to see how much we have cratered in 20 years. I mean, and really 50 years, I mean, really, you know, when you start that slide, it takes a little while before the speed begins to really come fast and furious, where so when you begin that slide, you think, oh, I can do this. And then suddenly, I mean, for anyone who's ever started at the top of a mountain on a pair of skis and didn't really know how to stop or control their speed, that's really where we're at right now, are people who are just careening out of control. And Lent is, it's almost like a pause button. You know, the Lord just says, stop.
Stop. And be still. Stop, be still.
Be still.
And know that I'm God.
Right.
That is right. I wanted to close, I think, with that, because it's at the heart of so much. And Lent, Ash Wednesday, works of penitence, you'll become that hypocrite, right, that the Lord warned against,
yep,
where you're just doing good works for show. We don't have interiority, but we aren't going to have interiority if we have not created a space within our 24 hours, okay, to stop and hear. And that's not just true for us, that's true for our children.
No.
All right, my friend.
I couldn't agree more.
All right. So we conclude these episodes on Lent, Ash Wednesday. And so till the next time, my friends, faith and reason.